If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. We also have it on the screen for you. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message this morning is When the World Goes Crazy. When the World Goes Crazy. Now, giving you that title to my message, I do have to say this. There is a very real sense in which the world has been crazy for a long time. Ever since Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the garden and sin entered mankind, the values of this world have been at odds with the values of Almighty God. And as sin has spread throughout our world, there's always a sense in which, when we look at it objectively, the world has gone crazy. So we can't forget that. But there are times in life and in the history of our world and our nation that it just seems like, extra demons have been let out of hell, And it just seems like just unbelievable carnage and, hatred for God and godly things is unleashed in our world and in our culture. Certainly 9/11 was a day that was like that. And, our last year and a half with COVID and racial strife and economic downturn and just seemingly division everywhere, it just seems like something else happens almost daily, on a daily basis, that causes us to shake our head and say, boy, just when I thought things were as crazy as can be, this world has gotten a little crazier. You ever have feelings like that? Of course we do. We live in the real world. The book of Lamentations was written during one of those kind of times. In 586 BC, Jerusalem, the holy city, was overrun by King Nebuchadnezzar and his army. And the people of God were taken into exile. Jerusalem had once been an impregnable city, established by King David as the capital of Israel. And for Jerusalem to be conquered, for its walls to be reduced to rubble, and its citizens to be taken into exile, that was catastrophic. That was the world going crazy. And as the name of the book suggests, Lamentations is a series of laments about this awful, awful thing that happened. But right in the middle of this book, in the portion that we read, today, we find that the inside the lament, it's not all doom and gloom. That God is still active. That God is still loving. That God is still all-powerful in the midst of a crazy world. Aren't you thankful for that today? He never changes. The Word of God says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. His grip on the throne of the universe is secure today. He does not waver. He does not fear. His power does not diminish. He is no less in control today than He ever has been. And let me tell you, when the world goes crazy and there's little else to cling to, I'm thankful we can cling to that truth, aren't you? Hallelujah! So this morning, in my message, I want to share some answers to this question. I mentioned Nick Pino. He's here today. God bless you, Nick. Congratulations on your commissioning last night. I want to share some answers to the question, what truths must we remember when the world around us seems to go crazy? What truths must we remember when the world around us seems to go crazy? You know, when bad things happen, emotions tend to take over. Right? That's true in a grand scale, a community scale, a nationwide scale. It's true in our personal lives. When seriously bad things happen, emotions take over. And that's part of who we are. We're created emotional beings. But what the antidote to that is, the help for that is truth. Remembering truth. And so what truths this morning must we remember when the world around us seems to go crazy? Well, the first is this. It's the truth that suffering is a part of life. Suffering, number one, is a part of life. Verses 28 through 30 talk about the yoke of suffering and the difficulty that we experience. Job 5:7 says, "Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." And you know, there's a mentality, there's a theology that says if we belong to God, if God is our source and God is our strength and God is good and He loves us, then we really shouldn't have to experience any suffering in this life. But I don't find that in Scripture. Do you? Jesus said, if the world hates me, they're going to hate you too. There's a recipe for suffering right there. And then we know that things naturally occur, right? Things go wrong. When one of your major appliances breaks, that's not the only one that breaks, is it? About four or five others come within a week or two, right? And it actually seems like a scheme, you know? But things happen. That's life. These bodies of ours, they break down. They're subject to illness and disease and the aging process. Some of you have yet to experience that, but let me tell you, it's a fun surprise to get old. Some of the older of us are laughing. Suffering is a part of life. There's nowhere in Scripture that guarantees that God's people will ever be exempt from suffering. And so you say, Pastor Tim, well, that's not very encouraging today. Well, it may not sound encouraging on the surface, but again, it's truth. Truth is what's needed during a time of overwhelming craziness in our world. Suffering is a part of life. Suffering doesn't mean God has forsaken you. It doesn't mean you've brought things on yourself. Now, we can bring things on ourselves. How many know we do stupid things? Sometimes bad results follow. Okay? But it doesn't automatically mean that we've brought something on ourselves because we're experiencing some suffering. Suffering is a part of life. You may remember on United Flight 93, one of the passengers who helped prevent that flight from reaching its target was a man named Todd Beamer. Remember his motto? Let's roll. Well, his daughter, Lisa Beamer, reflecting on the loss of her dad, said this. She said, slowly I began to understand that plans God has for us don't just include good things, but the whole array of human events. The prospering he talks about in the book of Jeremiah is often the outcome of a bad event. I remember my mom saying that many people look for miracles, things that in their human minds fix a difficult situation. Many miracles, however, are not a change to the normal course of human events. They're found in God's ability and desire to sustain and nurture people through even the worst situations. Somewhere along the way, I stopped demanding that God fix the problems in my life and started to be thankful for His presence as I endured them. Well, that's powerful. Now, again, I know that doesn't square with some people's theology. You know, that if you're a person of faith, man, you just pray all your problems away. And I do believe in prayer, don't get me wrong. And God will intervene in our situation. But He allows certain things into our lives because He knows that they will help to bring about His ultimate will and plan for our life. But as Lisa said in that quote, God is with us in the trial. God is with us during the suffering. He promised He would never leave nor forsake us. Hallelujah. So we need to stop wishing that life would just be a bowl of cherries and that we would, just go from one blessing to the other, you know, without any difficulties in between. We need to get our minds around the fact suffering is a part of life. What's the second truth we must remember when the world around us goes crazy? It's this. It's appropriate to mourn sometimes. It's appropriate to mourn. You know, I'm sure that yesterday and even today there were a lot of tears shed as those who lost loved ones and friends on 9/11 were reminded of their loss. And some of those wounds were once again opened. But it's appropriate to mourn at times of loss. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4 says, there is a time for everything, a time to weep, a time to mourn. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The writer here in verse 19 says, I remember my affliction and my wandering and the bitterness and gall. I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Listen, don't beat yourself up for mourning at the appropriate time, because that is a normal human reaction. You know, and I think sometimes people, they see other people who seem to, just be on cloud nine all the time. Let me tell you, people who are, and thank God for happy people. You know, don't misunderstand me. Nobody wants to be around somebody, you know, who is, just never has any joy. You want to be around people who are happy, but don't mistake the outward joy of someone to say that, oh, they're joyful and that's great, but they don't have problems like I do. And we can feel that way sometimes, don't we? Well, if they had to deal with what I'm dealing with, they'd wipe that smile off their face. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know the times of mourning they have in private. It's between them and God. And the point here is, don't beat yourself up for going through a time of mourning. Now, the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning comes joy. And I believe God doesn't want us to be in a constant state of mourning, a constant state of being downcast. But there are times when it's appropriate. I think of John chapter 11. Remember when Lazarus had died and his sisters Mary and Martha, they wanted Jesus to come, and he was a ways away, and it took him 2 days to come, and his brother had died. And they said to him, Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And they were weeping and they were mourning. And you notice Jesus did not scold them for weeping. He didn't say, what are you crying for? I'm here. He did say, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. And of course, he simply raised Lazarus to life. That was pretty good. That brought an end to their mourning. But he didn't scold them. He didn't upbraid them. He wasn't harsh with them. Why? Because he knows we're human beings. And as scripture I read in Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for mourning and a time for rejoicing. So we don't need to beat ourselves up over mourning or bemoaning things that happen to us. That's a normal human reaction. But let me move on to the third truth we need to understand when the world goes crazy. It's this: there is a reason for hope. There is a reason for hope. And we need to remember that, because when the world goes crazy, it just seems like it's all crazy all the time. Am I right? And you hear what's going on in the world and what somebody did and what somebody said, and this law was passed and this rule was enacted, and you hear this and you hear these opinions, and you just say, the world, it's all crazy all the time. But there's a reason for hope. In verse 21, the writer says, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Listen to this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Hallelujah. Listen. You may be discouraged today. You may be down. You may have things that have caused you to weep. You may have things that have caused you to question the very foundations of your faith. And the world just may seem to be all crazy all the time around you. But I want you to know this. There's a reason for hope today. Hallelujah. Hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as long as He's on the throne, there's a reason for hope today. Hallelujah. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here this morning. Because we've had a lot of crazy going on the last year and a half. And it's been a tough time for our church. I'll just tell you that. You know that. We have a good crowd here this morning. I'm glad to see all of you. I love to see you. And I'm believing God, however long the pandemic lasts or doesn't, I'm believing God that these pews will be totally filled. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's great to see you here today. But we've had some challenges. We're still going through some challenges. And I can't share them all with you. But I'm here today declaring the Word of God because I firmly believe there's a reason for hope. Psalm 33:20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Hallelujah. Micah 7:7, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. Child of God, let me encourage you today. Whatever is happening in your life, or whatever isn't happening in your life that you want to have happen, let me encourage you today. There's a reason for hope. As long as God is alive, as long as God is on His throne, there's a reason for hope today. You see, we can live without a lot of things. It's very difficult to live without any hope. Can I tell you something? My spirit has been buoyed just being in the service today. Just being in this time of worship. Say, well, you're a pastor. Pastors don't get down, do they? If you believe that, then I would say that you don't really know very closely too many pastors. Yes, we do get down. But I've been encouraged today. I've said in my prayer, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you today. And you know, we have to allow ourselves to be encouraged. We have to allow ourselves to recognize that there's a reason for hope. I love what it says about King David. When David was depressed and he was hiding out in the cave of Adullam, and it says 400 discouraged and depressed people were with him. I've said this, some of you have heard me say this many times. The only thing worse than being depressed is being responsible for about 400 other people who are depressed while you're depressed, you know. But it says this of David, he encouraged himself, not in circumstances, not giving himself a pep talk, he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's hope in the Lord. What are you going through today? What's going wrong in your life? How have things spiraled downward? I get it. It's not easy. But there's hope in the Lord. Hallelujah! A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope would have on those undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour they had all drowned. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for 24 hours. Why? Well, researchers theorized that they kept swimming and trying because the lifting them out of the water gave them hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little bit longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. If hope holds such power for a bunch of rats, how much greater should be the effect of hope on our lives? I love what Claire Booth Luce said. She said, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them." Amen. Where is your hope today? Well, I hope COVID goes away. Well, I hope so too. But that's not the sum total of my hope this morning. I hope the stock market goes up. I do too. But that's not where my hope lies. I hope people just get along. I hope Democrats and Republicans agree. Well, that's a big hope. But I hope so too. But that's not where our hope lies. Our hope is in the Lord. He's faithful. He's with you. He said he would be with you in the fire, in the flood, in the difficulty, in the good times, in the bad times. There's hope in the Lord today. Put your hope and your trust in the Lord. What's the fourth truth we need to understand when the world goes crazy? It's this, and we need to hear this, church. Good things can come out of bad situations. Verse 25, the writer says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I love what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20. Remember Joseph? Sold into slavery and then put in prison. Innocent young man. Boy, if there was ever anyone to give up hope, ever anyone to be bitter, not only at his brothers, his family, and the people around him, but at God, it would be Joseph, wouldn't it? If anybody had a right to lose hope, to be bitter and angry, be Joseph. But what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, after they came to him and it was revealed that he was the one they were dealing with, he said this. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." All that he had been through, God used for good. Hear me this morning, because I want you to catch this distinction. It's not that good happened in spite of the bad things. It's not like, well, all this bad stuff happened, but there was a little good stuff on the side. No, the good happened because of or through the difficulties. See, and we can't always see that, especially while we're going through it. And our human minds, and I get it, I'm with you, I'm right there. Our human minds say, "God, what good can come out of this?" Now, I'm not saying that, you know, God doesn't prompt anyone to do evil. The scripture says that. And those who attacked our country and those who do evil things, that's their sinful ways. But we don't understand why a sovereign God allows some of these things. And we say, God, what good can come from this? What good can come from this? And we just don't understand. But how many know often on the other side of the trial, we can say, man, I went through this difficulty. I went through this trial. And man, at the time it was awful. But I tell you what, I saw God deliver in a powerful way. And I wouldn't trade that trial for anything. Pastor Tim, that sounds a little crazy. Well, it sounds crazy in a good way, I think. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, in all things. Gil Coleman, a part-time employee for Blackwell Engineering and a civil engineering student who survived the Virginia Tech shooting. Remember that? When he dove on the floor and a student dove on top of him. The student on top of him was shot to death and Gil was covered by his blood, but he survived. And he gave a testimony of God's saving grace. How many remember the story of the golfer Payne Stewart? You ever hear of Payne Stewart? Well-known golfer and lost his life. He was on a plane, private plane, with some other individuals, and somehow the plane veered way, way off course. They theorized carbon monoxide got into the cockpit and rendered the pilot and everyone on board unconscious, and the plane crashed, I think it was into a mountainside. Everyone on board was killed, and one of the traveling companions on that plane, companion of Payne Stewart, was a man named Bruce Borland. And at Bruce Borland's funeral, his Jewish neighbor came to faith in Christ. And God used that plane crash to bring him and several other people to Christ. And according to PGA chaplain Larry Moody, several PGA golfers have come to faith in Christ after that tragedy. Terrible tragedy. But good things can come out of bad situations. And I just think if we can begin to look at bad situations in our lives and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, this is painful. This is difficult. But Lord, I trust You to bring good out of this situation. Can we pray that way? Lord, I trust You to bring good out of this bad situation. How many know God will do it? Hallelujah, because He's a faithful God. Number five, what's the fifth truth we must remember when the world goes crazy? It's this: God's love wins in the end. God's love wins in the end. Look at verse 31. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love, for He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Psalm 32:10 says, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Hallelujah. I love that. There's just something. You ever have just a phrase in Scripture leap out at you? I love that phrase, unfailing love. It doesn't fail, you know? We're used to things failing. Our cars break down. Our computers go haywire, right? You go to do something on your computer, it says such and such an operation failed, right? Don't you love seeing that message on your computer screen? Something failed, you know? Everything in life, people will fail us. Appliances break down and fail. Systems break down and fail. Everything, it seems like, fails. But God's love is unfailing. There's no break in it. You know? You know when the internet goes out? Like, what are we going to do? The world's coming to an end. There's no internet for 5 minutes. There's an interruption in service. God's love never fails. There's never a break in service. Hallelujah. His love, while you're here this morning, while you're out eating lunch today, while you're at work tomorrow, when you lay your head on the pillow at night and go to sleep, His love is flowing, is flowing, is flowing to you. Hallelujah. It doesn't fail. It doesn't break down. It doesn't get weak. Hallelujah. His love never fails. A man named George Matheson went blind as a young man. And his fiance at the time couldn't bear the thought of being married to a blind man. And so she jilted him. She left. And years later, he became a seminary student, eventually pastored a great church, had assistance of his sisters. And on one occasion, it was right before one of his sisters was getting married, he wrote a well-known hymn. And he said later that his hymn came out of an anguishing experience, a terrible experience. And he didn't say what that was, but many have felt like it was his being jilted by his fiance and maybe feelings come to the surface when his sister was getting married. And he wrote this great hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And that's the kind of love that our Father has for us. He won't let us go. We may wander. We may allow our faith to grow cold. We may choose to go our own way on occasion. But His love holds us with an iron grip. His love will not let you go. His unfailing love. And whatever happens in this crazy, mixed up, evil world, we can know that God's love always wins in the end. Because His love is unfailing. So what truths must we remember when the world around us seems to go crazy? We know that suffering's a part of life. No sense wringing our hands about it. We understand it and we trust God in the midst of it. It's appropriate at times to mourn. We understand that as well because we're human. But we understand also that there's a reason for hope today. The Lord is the reason for your hope and my hope. We understand, fourthly, that good things can come out of bad situations. And only God can do that. Amen? Amen? Only God can do that. And fifthly and finally, we understand God's love, His unfailing, constant, eternal love wins in the end. His love always wins. Hallelujah. Thank God we can trust in Him, even when the world goes crazy.